Our mom gave me the name Oluwato Simbankole, not Tosin. Like, since, like, who are you? Like, you're my brother. And you're saying my name wrong. This is something I had to live with my whole life. Like, you're doing it.
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Black and Irish podcast with me, Femi Bankole. This week, I'm joined by a very special guest, or not so special guest, Tosin Bankole. As you can guess by the names, ask my little sister. Tosin, how are you doing?
Okay.
Is that it? Come
on,
Tosin.
It could be better, like, I'm sitting in the same room as you, so yeah. It could be better.
You spent a good portion of your life sitting in the same room as me, you know?
I know, always wanted to get out, finally got out, and now I'm back here again.
For our listeners, you're a musician. What's your music name or your band's name?
So my band name is called Tosin, and I'm Tosin. So it's Tosin and my ensemble. The name came about really, I don't know, is it funny, but not funny. So basically I studied in BIM Dublin for 7 years where I studied music. And in BIM, people used to ask me, what's your name? And I used to be like, oh, my name's Tosin. But like, for some reason, people just couldn't say Tosin. So to make it better for them, I'd be like, it's like Roisin with a T. So then everyone started calling me Tosin. And then like, it went on for like 2 years and then I couldn't stop it. So then one day I was performing in college and then one of the guys just started snapping, Tosin. And then since then, it just kind of adapted. And I was like, okay, I think Tosin became my alter ego as well.
Interesting. So your mum, our mum, not your mum, our mum.
Sorry, mum.
Our mum gave you the name Tosin, T-O-S-I-N. You've changed and stylized it to Tosin, T-O-S-H.
So our mum gave me the name Oluwato Simbankole, not Tosin. Like, since, like, who are you? Like, you're my brother. And you're saying my name wrong. This is something I had to live with my whole life. Like, you're doing it. But yes, our mother named me Oluwato Sinolasubo Bankole. And then people changed it to Tosin.
Let's maybe take it back a couple of decades for you, because you're quite an old person now.
You're my older brother, but
yes.
Okay.
So tell us a bit about yourself and your background, where you're from. Like, I know all of this, obviously. Just pretend I'm not here.
You probably don't know all
of
this.
I probably actually don't. Yeah, go on.
Okay, so I was born in Nigeria and I was raised in Dundalk. So I moved to Ireland when I was three and we moved to Dundalk straight away.
Yup, the town.
Love Dundalk. Lived in Dundalk for like 14 years. Went to school, went primary school. Did loads of things in Dundalk. I was in the Glee Club. I did dancing. Like,
oh my God, remember the Glee Club?
There was a Glee Club in Dundalk. It was actually mad. Like,
oh my God, sorry.
Yeah, memories.
I totally forgot. Did we have to pay to attend that?
Yeah, obviously you didn't attend it. I attended.
Why is that obvious?
Because you went to football. You remember, you thought you were going to be a famous footballer.
Okay, so back to you.
Sorry. I digress. I think when I was 17 or 18, I moved to Dublin. I decided I want to study music, so I went to BIM Dublin. Actually, sorry, my music journey actually started in Dunboyne. I did a music PLC in Dunboyne and I actually failed music theory. Obviously, you know, I've never been good with academia, so.
Oh, I know.
So anyway, I failed music theory in Dunboyne and then I moved. Then I went to BIM Dublin. I did a diploma there and I failed music theory in BIM Dublin in the diploma. So then I went back to BIM Dublin again the next year and I studied music theory for a year, for an hour a week. And then I failed it again.
Oh, no, you didn't. I didn't know this. Failed it 3 times.
I failed it 3 times. And then I think...
Actually, can we cut that out?
This is my truth, though. No, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. This is my truth. Yes, we are not cutting this out. I failed music theory 3 times. But I got to repeat it one more time. In the same year, you know when you can do the repeat, you pay the 100 euro.
No, I don't know. I don't fail things.
Yes,
you know.
You do. But that, I got to repeat it one more time and I passed by compensation.
Oh my God.
And then I got into BIM Dublin.
Listen.
3 years later, man.
Miracles it's do a testimony. Happen.
Thank you,
miracles
Jesus. Thank you.
Do
no,
happen.
That was God. God wanted to teach me a lesson. Like, just
well,
keep
well,
going
in life.
He
didn't want to teach you music theory, clearly.
And I still...
For our listeners who don't know, what is music theory?
I don't know.
Sorry, do you know what? That's actually the worst question I could have asked you.
I failed it. What do you mean?
Okay, let's take it back a step. Let's take it back okay. a step. So tell us a bit more about like your musical beginnings, because clearly it started at a very young age.
Okay, I actually have an amazing story of how I started music.
Do so I know this?
You know this. Okay. You were a part of this story.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Okay. So basically, we used to go to church and church was our lives, and we went to church maybe like 2 or 3 times a week growing up. We always went to church. You know, our family was very religious. And I actually wasn't really into music. I think I was probably like 12, and I always said to my mom, I was like, Mom, I want to be a child care. I want to take care of kids because I love babies and I love kids so much. And Mom was like, yeah. But then Mom one day was like, you know what, Tosin, I want you to join the church choir. So I don't know if you remember this, but Mom put me and you into this group of like kids or teenagers who were learning like different instruments. And do you remember I was to learn the keyboard and you were to learn the trumpet?
Oh, I remember
do you remember
the
that trumpet?
Trumpet?
That trumpet. I'm actually so triggered by that trumpet. The worst trumpet player in the world.
I can still play that.
No, you cannot.
I still remember the keys.
I'm sure you do.
So some of us passed music theory or like.
No, you didn't. You didn't even study music, bro.
I would have passed.
Whatever. So I remember we joined that like teenager group and then I did piano and you did trumpet very badly, and then obviously I did piano very badly as well. So at the end of this like course, let's just say it was called we were had to perform on Sunday in church.
Oh,
do you remember?
God,
so then
I
wasn't allowed to do the medley. I wasn't allowed to play piano because I was really bad. So they're like, you know what, Tosin, you sing. I remember that Sunday Femi was playing trumpet, I was singing, and the whole choir was there. It was all good crack. And then next thing you know, during the ministration, let's say, I just start crying. Like, I was literally singing like, praising the Lord, and I just like, always. And I think it's because I looked at you and you just started making faces at me. And I just started crying for some
That's
reason.
A lie. Unsubstantiated.
No, you did. I remember
slander.
This perfectly. Like this, I'm actually traumatized by this. That's why I don't look at you when I perform anymore, because I literally started crying that day. But then after like crying and everything, the choir leader came up to me. He's like, you know, apart from the crying, you're very, very good. You should join the choir, this and that. And then I literally thought I was going to go home and get in trouble with Mom. But Mom was like, no, you did very well. From next week on, you're going to be full time in the choir. And then that's kind of how like the singing and all started for me, from that
so
crying.
So basically, I'm responsible.
Because I cried. No.
Listen to me, Tosin. If I didn't make you cry, it wouldn't have been such a poignant, don't say traumatic, poignant moment in your life. And it wouldn't have sparked you into the successful, talented musician you are today. So all I'm expecting you to say is thank you. That's all I want. Come on.
So that's how I started my music journey. Thank you, God, for the opportunities.
You spent a lot of time in church.
Yeah.
So tell me what that was like.
To be honest, church really helped my journey in like where I am today, because church taught me to be strict with my music. Church taught me to be consistent in my music. And I feel like if I didn't have those two elements now, I don't think I would be where I am today, because if I wasn't releasing consistently, if I wasn't performing consistently, I don't think people would know of Tosin.
So how did you transition then from church to kind of like the path that you're on now?
Church was my foundation. Church built me into a singer and like gave me that backbone, because I was always nervous. I think one of the reasons why I cried back then is because I was really, really nervous. So church like helped me singing it, like knowing that every Sunday I'm going to go to church and I'm going to sing with the choir. It was like, it just gave me that much confidence. And like, I know when you sing in church, people are always clapping, good, bad, whatever situation you're in, people are always clapping
and
clapping.
They're not there for you.
They're exactly. They're there for God. But like in my head, I thought I was performing the Tririna when I performed in church. So obviously when they were clapping, I was like, oh my God, they like me. Wow, wow, wow. That really gave me confidence to like, okay, I think I want to do this full time. I think I really want to perform in front of people. So I remember when I was in school and you have to like fit in your CAO. Yeah, CAO form. I think I still put childcare as my number one, but I put BIM as my second.
And music theory as your third.
Yeah. Music theory. I didn't even know music theory existed when I was doing my CAO. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And then obviously like starting in church as well going to school and going to primary and secondary school, they used to do like these little competitions. So I remember there was like Stars in Your Eyes and like some mad competitions. And I remember I did Mario's Got Talent one year. I think it was the same year you did Mario's Got Talent.
I don't know what you're talking about. Moving on real
There's
quickly.
A video on YouTube of you doing Mario's Got Talent rapping. I've got the magic in me. Don't worry, guys. I'm going to put that on my Instagram one day for y'all to see. But anyway, I remember there's one year I did Mario's Got Talent. I think it was my first, it was actually my first year in secondary school. I did Mario's Got Talent and I wore this like really big blue dress and it was just some crazy stuff. When I did Hallelujah by Alexandra Burke, do you remember that? And then of course what would happen, Tosin sings in front of like 200 people and she starts crying.
Did you
again
stop crying?
Do you remember I started crying and everyone got up and started like clapping and be like waving?
I do remember
and singing
that
along.
That was my last year in school.
Yeah, that was my first day and that was your last year.
Oh wow, okay.
So that, like, obviously I was really, really like nervous at that performance, but it was another step in my baby career that like really helped me. And it's like, okay, yes, I cried, but people like still responded really well regardless, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I remember my last year in secondary school, I did Mario's Got Talent again and I actually won.
I remember, what were you singing that year?
I did a medley. I did Emily Sandé. I remember when I won that talent show, I was just like, wow, Tosin, I think you got something here.
And that's like a nice full circle moment as well, because, you know, in your first year, as you said, like you cried and made a show of yourself. But to come back onto that stage,
I didn't make a show of myself.
And win that competition.
Yeah.
Must be a nice wholesome moment.
It was. And then, you know, I think in that moment when I won, I was like, you know what, I want to pursue music for the rest of my life, because yes, I love singing and it's great crack, but I just love attention. Like, I just love when people clap.
Oh yes, we know.
I just love when people clap, man. Yeah. I love when they clap, like, you good.
Obviously, you've told us a bit more about your journey to get into college. Yes, you know, like you're finished college now, you finished BIM. If anything, you know, if I'm thinking you failed music theory twice.
Three times, sorry.
Was it not four times? Sorry, you passed on your fourth time.
Yeah.
Just to get that clear. Passed on the fourth time. If anything, did that consolidate how important and how driven you were to maybe pursue the dream of studying music and becoming a musician?
I want to say, obviously we're laughing about it now, but in that moment, like, it was rough. Like, it was,
I remember.
It was really rough, because do you remember, like, when I was failing all that stuff, I was just like, you know, it was a perfect opportunity for me to like pack my bags and move home to England where our family
lives. Yeah, because our family left Dundalk at
literally
that point.
So
yeah.
Like, that was like the perfect time for me to move home, but I was just like, I did not come this far to give up.
And at this point, we got rid of the house in Dundalk.
There was
we?
No house in Dundalk, so I was literally sleeping on a moldy mattress. I was literally in my friend's gaff with seven other people.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I literally come home from like working a 12-hour shift. I'd come home at like 1 a.m. and they'll, because they're all in first year students, they'll all be partying. So I'd have to wait till the party's over at 3 a.m. I'll just be sitting there on the couch, wait till the party's over, everyone like goes, and then I take my mattress from behind the couch, I'll sleep for like 4 hours, get up, go back for another 12-hour shift beside the airport as well. So I was traveling like 2 hours to get to work, and in my head I was just like, wow, like, Tosin, just go home, pack your bags, mommy, I'm coming home. But no, I was like, no, I need to keep going, because I saw a goal for myself, and the goal is where I am now. I'm not going to lie to you. The goal wasn't like, oh, I want to play the Triarena, I want to tour the world. The goal is just to make it music and sing in front of people and perform and do what I love, you know, because I got a taste of that when I was in like secondary school. I got a taste of that when like I was doing the diploma in BIM. I got a taste of all of that, you know, like performing on stage and like getting to meet musicians and everything. And like, the Dublin music scene is so strong as well, and I just really wanted to be a part of that community. And that's what just kept me going. And obviously, okay, like, I had such a great friend group. I had, like, obviously you, though I really don't like you, but obviously you kept motivating me as well. Be like, keep going. Like, oh, any way I can help you. If you want to come sleep on my couch, if you want to sleep in my bed. There'll be times that, like, you'd literally let me sleep on your bed, you know. Get emotional. I really don't like you, though. But there was times that you were nice to me.
I don't remember letting you sleep in your bed. I was like, there's no way I'm that generous.
There was times.
I'm disappointed in myself, to be honest. Where you are now is when you kind of like envisioned yourself to be. I kind of see it as like you're still at the start of your journey. Maybe tell us a bit more, like, where are you now? Tell us a bit more about your music, what you've done so far over the past year or so. And then maybe we can get into a bit more details about what your dreams are for the future. But where are you right now?
So right now, it's actually so hard to believe. So obviously I'm graduating last October.
How many times did you have to do music theory in your final year?
I didn't pick it as a module. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. But I did fail music theory in first year, second year, and third year.
No, you did not.
I did.
So that's seven times.
And I had to repeat every summer.
How are you a musician? Wait, what is music theory? I'm actually so confused.
Music theory is like the maths of music.
What do you mean?
You have to like the treble clef and all that stuff. It's mad. It's no, honestly, you'd have to do music theory one day. You'll actually.
You probably would.
You do physics, man. You'd probably get it. But you know, I was never good in school. As soon as I graduated, I was still working in my hospitality job, you know, which was like hard, but it was also like so grand because it made me focus on my music. So like, I'm not working in hospitality anymore, but I'm so thankful for my hospitality journey. So basically, I worked in restaurants from like serving chips to becoming a supervisor for 8 years. A lot of people would always regret that journey in their life. Like, oh God, I wasted so much time, like 10 hour days in restaurants. But I was so thankful because I had such good managers and like people who saw like my dream and like they were like, okay, I'd be like, oh, I have a gig today or I have to go to the studio today. And they'd be like, go. You know, usually they'd be like, oh, you need to book that off 5 weeks in advance. But like all my managers and people who I worked with were so supportive and they were like, no, go. So all that time kind of allowed me to like build myself. So while I was working hospitality, I recorded an EP, a 5-song EP called Get Your Life. It's on Spotify, shameless promotion. It's on Spotify, Get Your Life. And I recorded maybe like, altogether, I think I have 9 or 10 singles out, which is pretty mad for me, you know, because it's very expensive, number one. And number two, I just didn't think working in a full-time job and like being in full-time college, I'd be here today, like with Music House. I've gigged so much. I've literally gigged probably every venue in Dublin. I think I've gigged every single venue in Dublin.
So I think 2022 was a big year for you gigging.
2022, you know, was such a big year for me in the music industry, especially in Ireland, because I have to break it down for you. So basically, in 2021, I did Nina Simone and Aretha Franklin tributes for a company. So they wanted me to do like home
it's like
and,
a corporate setting.
A corporate setting, gig, exactly. Like, yeah, corporate gig. So I did Nina Simone and Aretha Franklin corporate gigs for the entire year. And like, yeah, Nina Simone and Aretha were very, very hard to do. And I found it very challenging. And my band found it very challenging. But you know what? I want to take this these shows and put them on a bigger stage and a bigger platform and, you know, do these shows properly. So then I decided that I was going to do an Aretha Franklin tribute show, which I did in the Sugar Club on the 3rd of April 2022. So I took myself and a 10-piece band, so 3 backing vocalists, a brass section, like, and a full ensemble. And we went to the Sugar Club and we played the show, and the show actually sold out. I think you were there. You came to the show?
At Sugar Club?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all right gig, like, do you know what I mean?
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure it was sold out and there's over 300 people there.
No, I remember that show because I remember being like, if I paid a ticket to the show, I'd be fuming, just because it was so packed that like half the people there were standing.
You were standing,
and
yeah,
half
yeah.
were sitting. I was like, you paid money to be here to be sitting.
Yeah, so, but like, you did pay for the show, fam.
Did I pay?
Yeah.
I get screwed over all the time.
You did pay,
right?
Remember. Because you were asking for free tickets. I was like, hell no.
I don't get the VIP treatment.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
I did this show and it was such a success and I was so happy with it. We got asked to play the Cork Jazz Festival that year. And like, obviously in my head, I was like, okay, I know I'm going to play the Cork Jazz because I've played it before in like really small stages. But I was like, I know Aretha Franklin is something like Cork Jazz really needs and like they would really want this. So we got asked to play Cork Jazz, but I didn't expect to be asked to play the Everyman Theatre, which is such a beautiful theatre.
Is that like the biggest or the second biggest venue in Cork Jazz?
I think it's the second biggest one, because I think the Cork Opera House.
It's the second biggest.
So we got asked, and then I know also on the lineup for that venue that it was Shane Cootie, and I'm such a massive fan of Shane Cootie.
How great was that gig?
Oh, probably one of the best gigs of 2022 for me.
Yeah, 100%.
Easily.
I was going to say Tosheen at the Everyman was the best.
Tosheen is Aretha Franklin, But yeah, so we got asked to play that show in the Everyman and it was such a success. I think there's over 500 people there, which was like, I think the biggest crowd I've ever like played in front of, like a ticketed crowd. After that show, we were asked to do a tour, Aretha Franklin tour. So, which is going to be happening this year, February, we're going to be playing the Aretha Franklin tour.
No way.
Yeah, we're taking Aretha show on tour.
I spend an unholy amount of money going to gigs every year. And I've seen her literally since she was like 12 years old perform all the time, haven't missed a gig. And each time I'm like equally surprised and shocked, be like, oh my good Lord. Like, she's an absolute Star, I'll never say this off mic. You'll never hear it. I'm saying this because I'm obliged to say it. But no, genuinely, she is a force to be reckoned with while on stage. It's not even Toshin while on stage.
It's not. It's Toshin.
Toshin is literally
my alter ego. And I'm not even like, obviously, I'm going to tell everyone to come see my gigs. But like, I want to go see my gigs. It's not even like, it's not even funny because like when Toshin goes on stage, she's a completely different person. And like, she does some mad stuff. And like, sometimes I get off stage and I'm like, why did I, like, what? Like, I don't know what power comes over me. But yeah, Toshin, it's not a gig. It's a show. It's an extravaganza. Like, it's props, lights, action, outfit changes. It's mad. Like, it's so good.
Traditionally, as someone of African descent, Nigerian descent, and growing up in Ireland, you know, that well-trodden path, the majority of people with your background making music in Ireland and in Europe usually turn towards, like, you know, making like Afrobeat or like hip hop, but your music genre, forgive me if I'm getting this wrong, is more like funk, pop, soul. So maybe talk to us a little bit, one, about like, you know, what your inspiration is for making that type of music.
Yeah.
And then what is your process for making that type of music as well? Because it's very, I don't want to say unnatural, but it's not what is on the beaten track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just to correct you there, my genre is actually soul infused pop funk with alternative rock.
I'm pretty sure that's what I said.
No.
Oh, okay.
You said funk, soul, pop, something.
Yeah, something.
But I just gave you the correct.
Say that again, just for our listeners.
Soul-infused pop, funk, alternative rock.
Mumbo jumbo. Okay.
It's, so I feel, this is such a like a weird topic that like I find myself explaining all the time, but it needs to be explained. People see Toshin and they see me and they're like, oh, she wears this African attire, you know, they think they're gonna get like some Afro beat and some hip-hop, but no, you come to my show and it's like, it's completely different. Yes, I do. I love listening to Afro beat. I love listening to hip-hop. I've been always inspired by Simi's an Afrobeat artist. I've been inspired a lot by Burna Boy. I've been inspired by Fela Kuti. And I've also been inspired by the likes of like Tank and the Bangers, who are like a soulful hip hop poetry-ish kind of band. And they're from America, they're from based in New Orleans. And then I'm also like, I love like Katy Perry and I love like Beyonce. And obviously I'm a huge, huge fan of Aretha Franklin, you know? And I wanted to mix all those together. Like I wanted to bring my African side by wearing my native attire, but also bring like my organic, authentic side that is inspired by people that I listen to, which is like the likes of Aretha Franklin, Beyonce, Katy Perry, Tank of the Bangers. What I did was I just kind of like go to my band and I also have like ghost songwriters who write songs for me as well.
You got ghostwriters?
I got some ghostwriters. I got some ghostwriters because I can't do it all. God, yeah. She's busy. So I go to them and I'm like, guys, I want to stay true to myself by giving off like my Afrobeat side, but also giving off like my Katy Perry side,
sorry,
my Beyonce
side. Sorry to cut across
to
you there, but is that natural in the industry if you're a vocalist to have like other people write your music for you? If
yeah.
That's your skill? Or
it is. And I actually learned that in BIM, because in BIM, you know, there's like four or five streams, exactly. Yeah. And there's vocals, drums, guitar, bass, and there's also songwriting.
Okay.
You know, and in BIM, we were taught like, you know, it's don't ever be ashamed for a songwriter to write your song. And I know in one of the modules we studied, there was like there's an activity, let's just say, where you get a songwriter and a vocalist and you just tell the songwriter what you want, like five things, and the songwriter has to write you like five songs or five
bars.
Write you a song with those five things in those songs. You know what I mean? So then in my head, I was like, I find myself, I'm a really good vocalist, and sometimes when I'm writing songs, I have like this like blockage in my brain. I'm like, oh God, I can't do it. And I put a lot of pressure on myself, and which like it just makes me like so down and depressed. I'm like, here, what's the point of having songwriters in the world who don't like performing and just want to write songs all the time if you can't use them in a way? So then people have actually come to me and be like, Toshin, please, I want to write you a song. And you know, and that's actually one of like my song She that I released last 2 years ago, probably, that was written for me.
I always find like, you know, a stick that's using to beat musicians with, be like, oh, you got a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
You're not writing your own music. No, but in the industry that doesn't really exist.
If you think that as well, there's a lot of people who who don't even write their books. Like, loads of people don't write their books.
What is, we're talking about music, so what does this have to do with
But I'm just saying, like, because ghostwriters are kind of known for books. Like, gotcha, that's their gotcha. Thing. Like, people are like, oh yeah, ghostwriter. Like, that's such a norm. Do you gotcha, know what I mean? Gotcha. It's such a norm. Gotcha. So why can't it be a norm in the music industry as well? Like, it's the yeah. same thing. There's just with melody behind it. Do you know
gotcha,
what I mean?
Gotcha.
I wanted to write and be as organic as I can be with myself as well. And I wanted to write about my story. So none of my songs is like, oh, I fell in love and this boy is so cute. Like,
isn't Boy Listen about that?
Yeah, but Boy Listen is about me. It's about like what happened to me in that moment of life, okay. in that moment of time, sorry. So like whatever I write about or whatever is written for me, it always has to be about the present or what has happened very recently. I don't want to write a song about 5 years ago when I saw a chicken cross the road. Like,
or
do you know
when
what I
mean? Femi made you cry on stage.
Or Femi, no, that song will come. Don't okay. worry. That song will come. That's going to be like the top of my album. Don't worry.
Okay.
But no, I like to write songs that is like really super organic and like that is like, that has no pressure behind it because of like, oh, this is what expected for me because of like my race or where I'm from. No, I don't like, yes, I like to wear my Ankara and I like to wear the native clothes, but that's because I like it and I want to show
that's
off.
Also that's, you. Both things can exist at the
exactly,
same time.
Exactly. And that's because like, that's who I am as well. And like, yeah. I do enjoy it, but also I'm still going to do music that I like as well. This life is so big and like the world is so big for you to put yourself in a box. If I'm going to step outside my box, I'm going to step outside my box, you know? And like, there might be a stage in my life where, you know what, I want to write Afrobeat songs and I'm going to write Afrobeat songs and not because that's what it's expected of me.
Well, you get a ghostwriter to write Afrobeat songs for
no,
you.
I do write my own songs as well. I wrote a lot. Yeah, so that's kind of what inspires my music, just like being my true self.
What's next when it comes to music from Tosheen?
So music from May. So I don't know if you're on my headline show last year, the Tosheen headline show extravaganza and their grand social.
Oh yes. Deadly gig.
Deadly gig. It was so good someone even fainted. Do you yes. know what I mean?
That was mad.
So if you were at that show, you would have realized I played two brand new songs. Please God, by God's grace, I am planning on releasing an EP this year, a second Woo. EP that is gonna be titled, I'm gonna drop it. It's gonna be titled I Own Everything.
Oh, am I making like a guest appearance on that vocal rap? You don't want
the
me
podcast to... has been paused for. No, you're not.
So all the voice notes I've been sending you, trying to get on the, you're not gonna play on the EP, nothing.
No, they went straight into my trash, bro.
Okay.
I didn't even listen. Oh, was that you sing?
Yeah.
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
I thought you were just making noise or okay, something. Okay, okay, cool.
That's good to know. I didn't make the EP. That's
no,
fine.
You're not making.
We'll try
the
for
EP.
The next one then. Yeah.
The next one will be an album.
Okay, we'll try for that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but anyway, yeah, my EP is gonna be coming out this year by God's grace. I was very blessed in 2022 to be get a grant off the government.
Come on.
So I got a €5,000 grant to help me make this EP. So I'm really, really grateful to the Irish government for actually always supporting the artists. Like, that's an amazing thing that Ireland do, is always support the artists. So.
That's great, because no, you never hear people giving props to the government
no,
about anything.
It's the best. So that's I'm very so thankful. To hear. I'm so thankful.
And you know, with everything that's going on for you in 2023, we might have you on another time to talk more about your music.
If I'm not
so
too famous.
It's been absolute pleasure to have you on. I actually, even though we're siblings, I actually don't think I've actually had an in-depth conversation with
know,
you
I
like this
so
in a
weird.
Long, long
I had to
time.
Visualize that you weren't you, though.
Oh, why?
Because
I don't like. Well, I'm a nice person. See, do you know what? Let's take this on into our normal lives. We can have normal conversations. Maybe once a month, we grab a coffee. Actually, no, it doesn't matter.
That's never going to happen.
What do you think of me as a podcaster?
Okay. To be honest now, I think your the way you look is really great. And
well, this is an audio.
Oh. Well, I wish Mum gave you speech and therapy? Speech and what's that word?
Speech and drama.
No, speech and
speech improvement. See, clearly you need that as well.
I wish Mum gave you some speech lessons.
She
should have
gave that to us.
Yeah, because we're really bad talkers. But nah, seriously, you're okay. Like, you know, you could work on your tone. Your tone can be better.
Uh-huh.
I can teach you. I actually do singing lessons.
Oh.
But I can give you voice lessons.
Do I have to pay for it?
Yeah, I'll see 20 an hour. Oh, it's a discount.
Alright. Subscribe to the Black and Irish Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the RTE Radio Player app.